More people were hungry in 2017 than at any time over the previous decade, according to the latest edition of the annual flagship UN report, State of Food Security and Nutrition in the World, issued jointly on Tuesday by UN agencies. Cindy Holloman is a senior economist with the Food and Agriculture Organization in Rome and one of the lead authors of the study. She spoke to UN News' Yasmina Guerra about the key findings of the report.
I think the key message that's really coming out is that the new evidence this year on the estimates of hunger confirm now that the rise that we saw last year in hunger is continuing. We now have 3 years of global hunger or chronic deprivation, which has increased now for the third year in a row. This is quite worrying. We're now up to 821 million people who are chronically deprived of food, or what we call hunger. This is basically a reversal of a downward trend that we've been making quite a lot of achievements. Many governments and international organizations have made a lot of achievement in reducing hunger, and it's been falling for the last 10, 15 years. Now, in the last 3 years, we're seeing a slowdown and now a reversal, so it's starting to increase again, such that right now the levels of hunger are where they were almost a decade ago. So it's a very clear signal, an alarming signal, you know, that we're eroding the gains we've made in ending hunger. And we have some new challenges on the front that are challenging us that we haven't really managed to address adequately.
At a time when the world is working together to achieve zero hunger, what are the factors that are leading to this deterioration of the situation?
It depends on the country, and also within a country, you can have different drivers. But in terms of this uptick or this rise in hunger that we're seeing now, there are three basic causes that we're finding. One is conflict. Conflict is becoming not only more frequent in numbers of conflict, but it's becoming much more complex and intractable in some regions. The second area is economic downturns. So, for example, countries which have a high dependence on oil or other primary commodities, where those prices fall globally, they have economic downturn, which leads to hyperinflation or rising food costs, and also falling investments into social protection. The third area, though, is climate variabilities and extreme, and that's what we go in more in depth in this year's report. And what we're finding is that climate variability and extremes is increasing. More countries are exposed to it. And as a result, we've actually found evidence now that it's not only affecting emergency levels of food insecurity, but also it's contributing to the rise of hunger. So it's those three main causes that are driving the uptick. But we must also keep in mind that one of the underlying factors or causes to hunger is also poverty and inequalities and marginalization. And it's the poor that don't have access to a sufficient amount of foods that have the problems around chronic hunger.
What can governments do to tackle all these challenges and hopefully meet the zero hunger goal by 2030?
It's kind of an alarming situation. So we really do need a political will and commitment. The fact that we're witnessing a reversal in trends should send clear alarm bells that things are not going well. We're not going to reach zero hunger unless we actually begin to address these new challenges that I mentioned about climate variability extremes, but also these underlying issues that prevent access to sufficient foods and nutritious foods. Looking for solutions for hunger has to go hand in hand with peace and sustaining peace, and looking at conflict-sensitive solutions in areas where there is conflict. In terms of climate and climate variability, our key message this year is that we really urgently need to scale up and accelerate actions on climate resilience. We already have evidence globally that climate variability and extremes is affecting crop productions, crop yields, but also in many countries, food price spikes follow climate shocks. And also you have problems related to disease and outbreaks and quality of food and contamination. So we do need to focus on climate resilience. A key is around agriculture. About 2.5 million people rely on renewable resources for their livelihoods. And these are the ones that are most affected by climate variability extremes. We clearly see temperatures rising over agricultural areas. We see large variations in rainfall. And also we see changing seasons. So many countries now are faced with late and start of rains, unequal distribution of rainfall. All of this is creating problems for the livelihoods of those people that rely on it. It's a very serious problem, and it's the beginning of it. So we need to quickly take action to scale up and accelerate our efforts if we're going to start to address this underlying issue.
Can you provide some specific examples of initiatives or projects that have proven to be game changers in this global race to end hunger?
Yes. So in terms of the problem of climate variability and extremes, we need to look at disaster risk reduction, because the number of climate-related disasters has doubled in the last 20 years. So there is a need to focus on reducing the risk to that disaster, but also helping populations recover quickly and recover their livelihoods. But also, we see the trajectories of where we're going in terms of climate. And what's urgently needed also is climate adaptation integrated with disaster risk reduction. And we have a number of examples, as I said, good practices. For example, in Sri Lanka, you know, a country there have high exposure to climate extreme. And climate risk analysis show that interventions should not only address the short term, but we need to start addressing the longer term projections of sea level rises and salt intrusion. So it's a combination of short, medium, and long term interventions with the goal of building resilience of livelihoods and economic systems and food systems to be climate proof. So there's a number of these type of risk reductions, but also preparing people to cope with the climate extremes, but also making them more resilient. So those are the ones that we really need to scale up and broaden. It has to be a priority going forward, and it's quite an urgent call to take bolder actions on this front.